Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible says that, in fact, your human reason, your human existence, is an assemblage of God's wisdom, and He has brought you into this world, so says the Bible, and He has a purpose for your life. We are the only creation beings of God that can express what can be expressed from us as absolutely divine-like, remarkable.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called The Why Series with a message called Why, Oh Why. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. From the time we're young, we drove our parents to the edge with why this and why that, right? Well, when we became teenagers, we often used the why question to test authority. And now as adults, we wrestle with that why question when it comes to the things of life, and how we need to ask God for the answers to those deep questions that He's placed in our hearts. So today, on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we as human beings are the only beings that God created in His own likeness. Our ability to reason, along with an internal moral code, makes us unique from all other species. We were formed from the dust of the earth, yet we can think, accumulate knowledge, and engage with others. And now in his message called Why, Oh Why, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
That's the question of the psalmist. Have you ever had that question? I'm going to believe that you've had this question. Hey, God, are you out there? What's the meaning of life? Great question, but you better get that answered. Don't pop another beer or do another line of drugs and not get that answered. You say, I'm not getting the answer. Well, maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're watching tonight and you're going to get the answer. But the question by the psalmist is, what's man? What is mankind that you're mindful of him? So the psalmist 3,000 years ago is asking the question, what's to my existence? Job chapter 13, verse 3. Job 13, 3 says, but I, that's Job, would speak to the Almighty. I desire to, what's the word? Reason with God. Every one of us have reasoned with God. I don't even believe in God, but you've reasoned with them. I already know this about you. I may not know you, but I already know this about you. You've already had an argument with God. You say, I'm a full-blown atheist. I know. Keep telling yourself that. You feel better. But the truth is, you're not. Because when we talk to you, we always find out that what you're really bummed about is how God's running the universe, and so you declare yourself an atheist. You're really upset with him. But you can't be upset with someone who doesn't exist. He wants to speak to you. You can't argue with someone who doesn't exist. And so Job says, I just want to reason with God. I want to know why this is going on in my life. I want to know why this has happened. And Job, look at Job. He's famous. He lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his cattle and his sheep and his camels. He lost all of his kids killed. Job is saying, I just want to talk to my creator. If he's out there, hello, God. Job went on in chapter 14, verse 14. Awesome question. I use this almost in every funeral I do. The oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job. Job asked the most contemporary question. If a man dies, shall he live again? Isn't that your question tonight? Are you sick? Do you have cancer? We had a young woman here on Sunday who gave her heart to Jesus Christ, who's dying of cancer unless God heals her. And that's the question that's on the tip of the tongue. If a man dies, will he live again? You don't think about that much if you're healthy. But listen, you can be in here tonight, 13, 16 years old tonight. You can be here and you're fine. And you think, this is ridiculous. I'm bored. I understand that at your age. I would have been bored too in here at your age. I got news for you. If they find a lump on your spine or something behind your right eye And they don't know what it is yet. And you've got to go in for testing. Let me tell you something. You are going to wonder, if a man dies, can he live again? The Bible answers that question that no other religion or faith group or scientist can answer. What do you think about that? The very thing that you would want when you've been given a death notice is to know, when I close my eyes, where do I go? My consciousness. Look, you look dead when you're sleeping at night. If we come to your room tonight and look at you, you look dead. You're not dead. Your mind, you're going all over the place. You are a rock star. You're walking on the moon. You know, you just sold 1 million platinum records. I mean, you're dreaming, baby. You're out there. And if somebody was to wake you up, you'd startle. You look dead, but you... Listen, when you die, the Bible says the moment you die, you're in eternity. Who says that? God says that. And I don't think any of you are dumb enough to gamble with your eternity on fighting with what God has to say. Think about it. And you do know. I didn't say this, did I? If you're visiting tonight for the first time, do you understand? We don't want you to sign up to be a member of this church. Number one, you can't. We don't have membership, so relax. We don't want your money. Listen, if we don't see you again, whatever. But we want you to meet Jesus. We want you to know who he really is. If we never see you again, still, we want you to know who he is. We want you to meet him. We want you to know what it's like to know God for real. It's human nature to ask the greatest questions. And the greatest question of all, is there a meaning to life? And human reason, the very existence of reason in you. We can train animals. We can train them to do this or that. But no animal has reason like you have reason. All of creation has God's fingerprints on it. But you're altogether different, the Bible says. And so does science, by the way. But first of all, we want to talk about what we mean by human reason. And foundationally for our series, we need to ask this question, what is human? What is human? Now, look, this is kind of fun. I did what a lot of young people today did. I just randomly did this intentionally. I just typed this in and saw what the first response was that came up. Listen carefully. Human, Homo sapien, Latin, meaning wise man. The species to which all modern human beings belong, Homo sapiens, is one of several species grouped into the genus Homo, but it is the only one that is not extinct. See also human evolution. I love that. Wait a minute. You want to know why we're not extinct? Because you're not an animal like all the other animals. So I believe in evolution. We can argue that some other day. There's a reason why you're not extinct. The Bible says that, in fact, your human reason, your human existence, is an assemblage of God's wisdom, and he has brought you into this world, so says the Bible, and he has a purpose for your life. You're not an animal. You're not a thing. You're not somebody we throw away when you're old, and we don't throw you away when you're young. We are the only creation beings of God that can express what can be expressed from us is absolutely divine-like and caring and loving, creating, remarkable. To be a human, we don't need to belabor it. The Bible says in Genesis 1, 27 to 28, so God created man, that is mankind or humankind, in his own image. It is moral likeness. Doesn't mean God's 6 feet tall. Moral likeness. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's why man's not extinct. God has a plan for you. And then we ask the question, what is reason? Reason is rational thought. It's educated mind discovery. Reason is to practice analysis. The age of reason is what gave birth to the scientific model or method of research. You're a researcher. Every one of us are researchers. And God made you that way for a reason. So listen, I want to run through this. Is there arguments, listen, the question is, are there arguments regarding these two things? Listen up. Listen. The Bible, does the Bible encourage human reason? Answer, class? Yes. Does the Bible discourage aberrant human reason? Yes. We know this. You say, I don't believe in the Bible. Okay, watch this. Does our human society encourage human reason? Well, okay, now, I'm not talking about, the answer is yes. I'm giving our culture the benefit of the doubt. Our culture is supposed to encourage reason. Okay? You got me there. It's like, okay. I'm a little bit more positive tonight than you are, apparently. Does our human society discourage aberrant reason? You would hope it would be yes. It discourages it. In other words, look, both the Bible and society frown upon you walking up and slapping a 99-year-old person in the face. Would you agree? My argument to you tonight is, according to the Bible and according to society, which we'll argue is not Bible, because God is creator of you, that morality permeates human existence. There is an internal right or wrong mechanism that is built into every human being, even if they live in the darkest jungles of South America. Did you know that's a fact? That those people who we would say, they're so backward, hey, they own their hut. We're still buying our huts. Yeah, but the guy runs around with the underwear on. Lucky him. And all he does is eat that fish. It's his fish. But there's a moral code that's written into every man. And ladies, you know I'm talking about mankind. Don't be offended. It's written in you. So that when you raise a child, when you raise a baby, you're going, no, don't do that. And you know that baby knows that they ought not to do it. In fact, you know what's amazing about babies? If you don't have any babies, get some babies and try this. You don't even have to tell the baby that that's wrong. The baby will go like this. And the baby will look at it, and it's like a vase or vase from grandma in Italy. And they know it's like really expensive. And they'll look at it, and watch, they're looking at it, and they'll go just like this to you. Did you know that? You have a kid? You know what I'm talking about? How do they know that? They know I'm not supposed to touch that. And here's what they do. And they go right to it. They're 2 years old. And they're going like that, and they look at you. And they're saying right now, are you man enough to take me on? And then they'll knock it over. And you better win. Because if they win, it's over. That nature, we know right and wrong. The light is in us. The Bible says, by the way, if you don't know or believe in the Bible says that Jesus is the light that illuminates every person that comes into the world. Remarkable. Regarding human reason, the Bible assumes an amazing thing. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God, watch this, and the Lord God, number one, formed man out of the dust of the ground. Listen up, young people, listen up. With what we know today, with DNA, scientific research, electron microscopes, chemistry and biology, class, listen up. Is that a scientific statement? Just those first few words. Watch, everybody, listen. And the Lord God formed man out of the what? Dust of the what? Ground or the earth, some of your translations say. I like earth better, but ground works. Dirt. So those of you who would say, oh yeah, okay, I gotcha. If God is God, and if science true, and it is, then God is the creator of science. And he's the one that said thousands and thousands of years ago, this is my translation, if you want to know if I'm real, just take some meat out of some guy or some blood and run it through an analysis, and guess what you're going to find? You're going to find that that guy's made out of dirt. As cute as you are tonight, you're made out of dirt. Did you know that? The elements of your existence is what's found in the created universe. And God says that. Scientific statement declared by God. Science catches up to what God had said. Science is always catching up, as man discovers in the age of enlightenment. The drive to ask the question is a telling attribute of who we are. We want to be educated. We want to know. It's within us, human reason. Would you agree with me though? Listen up. Because listen, just logic, in logic. If you and I have got to teach our children math, science and manners, courtesy, you have to instruct them. Even though we are remarkable creations, we have to be taught. That demands then this statement being true. Human reason is limited. We are not infinite in our human reason. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are limited. You say, you don't know me. You don't know me, Jack. I've got 7 PhDs. Doesn't matter. You had to educate yourself to get them. And after getting them, you still don't know everything. You think you do. You don't. Are you with me? You get that? We are limited in our understanding and our human reason. Yet human reason exists because God placed it in you. You're created by God. Again, Isaac Newton. We're going to pick on him a little bit tonight. Next quote by Newton. This is awesome. Isn't this beautiful? What we know is a drop. What we don't know is an ocean. That's awesome. And I don't argue with him. You look like a loony. That's Isaac Newton. You don't know more than he does. I love it. I mean, what are you going to say to that? 1 Corinthians 13:11. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible agrees with that statement. Or I should say Newton agreed with the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Remember that? Some of us still do. I understood as a child. I'm throwing myself in there. Some of us still, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly. Isn't that true? But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. In other words, when Paul says the believer stands before God in that day, all knowledge, as God knows us, we will know. How's that? You're going to get very much educated, you and me both, when we get to heaven. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who has become his counselor? That's what the Bible says about who God is. But does this mean that there's no place for reason to believe in God? The exact opposite. I'm highly persuaded that the believer in God should be the most knowledgeable, the smartest, the best citizen, the brightest, the greatest achievers. By the way, the age of enlightenment is my model for that. And again, I was saying it earlier and I interrupted myself. Did you know that those who research the age of enlightenment, the age of reason, they actually can dial down and say the greatest person that came out of the enlightenment with the greatest effect is one individual. Remember the time frame was from the mid-1600s to the late 1700s. This is amazing. And globally, the researchers agree there's one person that stands head and shoulders above all achievers of the enlightenment. And I'm wondering if you know who it is. Somebody said Einstein. Good guess. Anyone else? Ooh, that's a good one. Jonathan Edwards. If you've ever studied that brilliant guy. No, it's not him. Benjamin Franklin's another great guess. A genius. You guys are circling the... Jefferson's another youngest signer of the Declaration of Independence. No, it's George Washington. George Washington. You don't often think about him like that, but they've all concluded that in one package is one individual of incredible genius Because you don't know that about him, because he was so quiet. He never talked. And when he talked, everybody like, shh, he's going to talk. And he would say something like, beat the British. No, he didn't talk much. But he knew how to lead. Just brilliant in his actions and in his knowledge and in his influence and in his understanding of perseverance. Of course, Washington, I think he gets the gold medal for that because he's the father of what became the United States. I get that. It's remarkable, though. Job 11, verse 7. You guys okay? We're almost done. I've got to stop here because I promised to ask some questions of you guys. Job 11, 7. Can you resolve the mysteries of God? Job is saying, or God is saying to Job, can you discover anything about the Almighty? Such knowledge is higher than the heavens. And who are you? It is deeper than the underworld. What do you know? It is broader than the earth, wider than the sea. This is God's challenge and Job's response. It's pretty remarkable. Also, this, mark it down, it's human of us, friends, to promote thought. To promote thought. I'm going to pick up the tempo and just tell you this if you care, and you can write it down. Acts chapter 17, read it later. From Acts chapter 17 to Acts chapter 24, you will read one event after another where God is using people to challenge, listen, to challenge a community, a city, a nation to use their minds to consider God. And I'll wrap that portion up by saying this. One of the greatest thinkers of his era became a Christian. And that man walked to Athens and he stood there on the road that the main agora that heads up to Mars Hill. You can go there today. It's still there. And that man, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, walked up there and he began to, the Bible says, reason among the Stoic philosophers regarding the existence of God. And they were blown away. The Bible tells us that it was Paul again in Caesarea. Many of you have been with me in Caesarea. He stood before Felix in that gathering to defend his faith, and he begins to speak to Felix, and the whole crowd's there, and Felix says, stop! Stop! You almost persuade me to become a Christian. Was Felix's words.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Why Oh Why. Thanks for being with us today. Why Oh Why is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series. It's a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life by giving us answers straight from the Bible, which is, of course, our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose for living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, hard work and determination really does have its rewards. But there's nothing that compares with our inheritance in eternity. Eternal life in heaven isn't something we earn, but it's a gift from God when we surrender our lives to Him. Peter understood this, and it's why he reminded us again and again that our Christian walk is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not about duty. So what does it mean to live in real life? Well, the best way to have a relationship, it's with your time, a quiet period to meditate on Scripture, and through a devotional time of conversing with the Lord. But if you're not sure what that looks like, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find weekly devotions personally written by Pastor Jack and inspired by some of his favorite verses. There are also previous devotions for daily reflection. So head on over to jackhibbs.com and discover devotions for yourself. That's jackhibbs.com. Or if you'd like, you can download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go inspiration. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.